And he is jealous for me. He loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Oh, and he loves us. Oh.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. He has ransomed me, His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me.
Thank you. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for our young people. Come on, let's celebrate them. Amen. Let's encourage them. Let's validate them in the Lord. How many know who they are in Christ Jesus this morning? Amen. We better know something in this day and in this time. And I thank God for our young people and our youth leaders, amen, who are just a blessing. Man, they are a blessing to this body. And every time I was just sitting there and observing, every time they say that, I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who I say I am, who you say I am. Man, Kyle's a little girl, every single time her hand would just go up. She'd be like, I am who you say I am. Amen. Listen, there's got to be an affirmation in our heart, amen, that we know that we belong to the Lord, amen, and it's got to be continually reinforced, or else guess what? We'll get swept away in all this stuff. Amen, my heart is overjoyed and just overwhelmed. Amen. Just to see our young people just giving God praise. Amen. They ain't caught up in the politics of church. They ain't worried about who looking at them. Amen. They just singing. They just praising God. Amen. I thank God for that kind of praise. Amen. Amen. We just give honor to God this morning. Pastor Wright, amen, Minister Tolbert, Deacon Wright, all the deacons, amen, all of our leaders, amen, what a wonderful time we had this weekend, amen, up in Lancaster, amen, just thanking God for Jesus Christ, thanking him for this salvation, thanking him even more so for this wonderful fellowship, amen, this intimate relationship, amen, we can't get it nowhere else but in him, just giving God praise for who he is. Amen. I thank God for my wife. Amen. Just thank God for everybody here today. Amen. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're not going to belabor the moment. If you have your Bibles, prayerfully you do, ask that we want to turn, amen, to two passages of scripture. Amen. The first being found in the book of the Psalms, the 16th chapter. Amen. Starting at the 5th verse. Amen. And then the second passage of scripture. Excuse me. Just going to jump just a little bit around in within this book of Colossians. First chapter, verse 19 through 21. Also chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Amen. Where we want to be. So, In Psalms 16, starting at verse 5, amen, where David writes, he says, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou manifest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." He says, "I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season." Amen. Somebody say, "I have set." I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Amen. And our focus verse is right here in verse 11. He says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence," somebody say, "is fullness." Oh, somebody say it like you got it. "Is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Amen. And in the first chapter of the book of Colossians, Paul writes to us, he says, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by himself. I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And then he distinguishes us, y'all. He says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. And then in verses 9 and 10, in this second chapter of the book of Colossians, he says, for in him dwelleth all, somebody say the fullness. Somebody say it like you got it, the fullness. Like you really got it, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete or full in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And if there was just another verse I could call to your attention, you don't have to turn to it. You can write it down, and we all know it. You can probably quote it by heart. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. If I were to choose a topic for this text, we just want to talk briefly this morning. Don't plan to be before you long. Amen. We want to talk about our fellowship, our fulfillment. Our fellowship, our fulfillment. Let's look to the Lord. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we thank you this morning. Father God, we glorify you. We magnify you, O God. We extol you. We worship you. We praise you. We adore you, O God. For there is truly none like you. You are God and God all by yourself. You're God Elohim. Father God, you are our peace, God Shalom. Father God, you are our provision, God Jireh. And Father God, you are our righteousness, our very life, God Sinkanu. Father, you are everything that we'd ever need and more. Oh God, we heard it on Friday night, our cup runneth over, not with things, oh God, but, oh God, it runs over with you, oh God. Heavenly Father, you are the very sustaining and the very fulfilling presence in our hearts, oh God. And we praise and we worship you. God, we thank you for this wonderful salvation. We thank you for this sweet communion, oh God. We thank you for this wonderful fellowship, oh God. Heavenly Father, which you gave to us by your Son. By your grace, nothing that we ever could ever deserve or earn, oh God, but simply because you love us. And we thank you, oh God. Reveal yourself to us right now in the very fullness and the very totality of who you are, oh God. Show us your face this morning through your word, oh God. Engraft your word in our hearts this morning, oh God. Heavenly Father, that we might be further conformed to the very likeness and the very image and character of your sons, of your Son, O God, that our life, O God, might bring you glory through the very reflection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Speak to our hearts right now, O God, intentionally and diligently, O God, those things that you will for our lives, O God. And Father, we'll give you praise. We'll give you glory, O God. Not just the praise and the glory that proceedeth out of our mouth, O God, but that which illuminates from the very glory of your presence being magnified and manifest in and through us, O God. Have your way this morning. Crucify my flesh, that I might not speak of myself, O God, but that you might speak to our hearts this morning. We thank you, O God. We praise you and we worship you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. The words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord God, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Our fellowship, our fulfillment. Amen. And we're sharing, just mentioned briefly, on Friday evening during the leadership conference, and was sharing with the foundations class last week how God just in prayer had been just dealing with my heart and my prayer, my cry, has been, Lord God, please expose my eternal need for you. Man, expose my soul's longing, because we got it, every single one of us. My soul's longing and groaning for you. Pastor Wright was dealing with it last week. Amen. And magnify it and amplify it over my flesh desire to get its needs met by stuff in this world. Seriously, that's been my prayer. And then equally, I pray, and Lord, reveal unto me your desperate need, your desperate desire for fellowship with me. That's been my prayer. And it's because of that. And it's for the very reason, because that's the place, y'all. That's the place where our desperate need and groaning for fulfillment, right, and satisfaction meets the holy God's very intention. His intention and his great desire to meet us in fellowship and meet every single one of our soul's needs. That's our place. Guess what, y'all? That's the kingdom of God. That's the place. That's the place that he's prepared for us, y'all. Guess what, y'all? And I say it all the time. Listen, and I'm looking forward to it. Minister Tober was dealing with it on Friday night. Pastor Wright has dealt with it. Amen. What Paul talks about, man, he's caught in this place where to live is Christ and to die is gain. But guess what? It's not about an anticipation of heaven, because heaven is a place. No, it's an anticipation of this wonderful fellowship. Magnified, manifested, blown, and completely culminated out of proportion when we meet God in that place of heaven. I'm telling you right now, you want to talk about a joy that can't be experienced in this body? That's why he gives us, that's why he's promised us a glorified body. That place of fellowship that we're going to have with him, amen, cannot be told, cannot be explained and articulated in human words, amen. But listen, it's what I'm looking forward to the most, amen. And I see that y'all sleep here this morning, amen. But I'm telling you right now, amen, that's gotta be our desire. Listen, y'all, we can't be a people that come into church and just go through the habitual process of religion. Coming in church just because it's politically correct to do it. Amen. And we come in and we want to feel good, and we want the pastor, the preacher to preach to us and tell us something good, just enough, just to get just enough of God so we can go back out there and live our best life in this world. That's not what God has planned for us. God has planned to meet every single one of our eternal needs through his son, Jesus Christ. Shared it with the leadership during the conference. Guess what? Us getting our physical, emotional needs met is secondary to God. Do you know that? It is secondary to God. God's greatest desire, y'all, is us. And the only way we get our eternal needs met, the ones that really matter, because the Bible says God has set eternity in our heart. It's a longing for him. The only way we get that thing met is through Jesus Christ. It's the only way. And guess what, y'all? There's not a single satisfying, I mean a perpetual, I'm talking perpetually, consistently, there's not a single satisfying or fulfilling quality in this world or the things of this world. There isn't. There isn't. It's all a setup, y'all. It's all a setup. We get more out of the anticipation of what we're going to get than what we do when we finally get that thing. We get excited about, you know, oh, man, the Lord going to bless me with this, or he going to bless me with that. And you ever notice, if you just take stock and inventory long enough, there's more in the anticipation of that thing than there is when you finally get hold of that thing. You know why? Because all those things are temporal. They break. I know y'all tired of me saying it. They depreciate. Pastor Wright said, break the record. They run out. they run off and they die. Those things, all those things are temporal things. That's why we live, and that's why we see a society that's like this. It's like a roller coaster. One minute we up, the next minute we down. Because we get things that satisfy us for a time. And then those things let us down. And then we're back down, and then we gotta fight, scrimp, save, do everything, shoot, fire, and kill just to get that thing again or some other version of that thing again so that we can get that feeling of brief euphoria and temporary euphoria again. And then next thing you know, our life is filled. And our life is on this trajectory of this roller coaster, up and down, up and down, up and down. And the world has painted an illusion. Turn on the TV. Look at the commercial. Everything looks so pretty and wonderful. Right? Even the background of the stuff that you see on television, it's perfect. And guess what? These people, these marketers, they know what they're doing. They're selling us on a lie of fulfillment through things. And then what do? We run out. We go get 2-3 jobs. Full-time job, part-time job. Don't let nobody offer us a credit card with a certain limit. We can't wait to go get that thing. We'll go and spend everything that we got on that thing to try and meet a need that only Jesus Christ can fulfill. And then guess what? That's what I'm talking about, the letdown. The letdown is I don't run the credit card up. And I pay the minimum balance every month. And wonder why I'm 30, 40 years still in debt. That's the trick of the world. Because guess what, y'all? There's nothing in this world but the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Amen. And it's a big old setup. It's a big old setup, y'all. And guess what? If Christ is not our whole and entire pursuit, if he is not the object of what we're seeking and searching for or chasing after, guess what? Our experience in this world will be a series of unsatisfying events, one after the other. Seriously, because guess what? Here's the principle. An eternal soul cannot be satisfied by temporal things. Can't happen. And that's what we try and do. Listen, there is a yearning and a thirst in every single one of us. Guess what? Because it was put there by God himself, and it can only be satisfied and fulfilled through God and his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, he said the Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth. And then what did he do? He blew into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became an eternal living soul. At that moment, he set eternity, a longing for himself in us. That's what that breath of life represents. Only to be met and satisfied through fellowship with him. We can't be running around in Walmart and Target and all these places trying to get our needs met on Facebook and social media, living our best lie. I didn't say our best life. Living our best lie. We're living in snapshots and moments on social media, trying to propel this vision of the perfect life. And our lives and our homes are a hot mess on the back end because we're chasing fulfillment and likes, and we're chasing validation from other people and looking for it in places that we can't get it and nowhere else but in Jesus Christ. He's the only one. And then we wonder why we walk around unsatisfied and why there's this unmet thirst in our hearts and we just can't get there. I just can't get enough, and I don't understand why. Because we're looking for it in the wrong place. It's in Christ. And I thank God for praying through the Genesis. I thank God for chapter 3, Pastor Wright was dealing with the fall of man, how they fell from that holy and that happy state. right? And that's the thing. And, you know, we read that, and we're, myself, even myself as well, and we look at it, we like, man, why they mess up? Man, why would they do it? People upset. Even today in 2023, we still mad with Adam and Eve. That's right, said it was Eve. No, it was Adam. You know, he said it all the time. We're joking, right? Right? And we're still upset. Why? 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 And we've been trying to get back to eating ever since. We've been trying. We even got songs about it. Let's get back to eating. Live on top. Listen, y'all, ain't that much. Listen, I'm telling you right now, you know why? Because it was never God's plan to satisfy man by means of things, even the things in the garden. And our flesh don't like to hear it because we want that thing. We want to be born in it, and we want it to just be perfect. And we just want to, you know, we want to be born in this holy and happy state. But guess what? What God wants from us, y'all, we could not get unless they fell. And that's for us to have fellowship, a reciprocated, reciprocal love relationship with him. If he just would have born us, if he just would have birthed us into this perfect, happy, and holy state, we would never truly appreciate the love of Christ. I'm serious. That's what Adam and Eve's problem was. So that way, when they give us, just like our children, when we give them everything, they don't appreciate it. What do they do? Because the natural tendency and the wiring of a man's heart and spirit is to take what he has for granted. That's just our wiring. It's nobody's fault. It's the fault of sin. It's what it is. It's the fault of this longing in us that can only truly be fulfilled and satisfied by way of Jesus Christ. By him. He's the only way. He's the only one who can do it. It was never God's plan to satisfy us through created things. Amen. Created things cannot satisfy us. Even though they were created by him, God does not desire to satisfy us by an object or anything that was created. He designed us to be satisfied by himself. That's why I said we've not been redeemed by corruptible things. What are corruptible things? Everything. Everything outside of Jesus Christ is corruptible. It all has an end date, an expiration date. It all has a course and trajectory for depreciation. Every single thing. We're born into this world strong. And then from the minute we're born, we begin to decline from birth. Every single thing, Minister Tobin said, you feel that right now. Because our bodies, listen, they will start every single thing. The only thing that was ever imperishable and will last forever is Christ Jesus and the spirit that he's placed in us. When he breathed, and he meant for that. He meant for Christ and us, the eternal part of us, to have fellowship eternally. That's his goal for us. His goal, he foreordained it that way that we would only be satisfied by him. Look at what he says in his Colossians 1. Even going back to the 15th verse, he said, who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. Listen. He said, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, and all things were created, emphasis, by him. And then he said, what? And for him. And then he goes on in the 17th verse and he says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That means all things were also created of him. So look at what he's saying. We were created by him. We were created for him. And we were created of him. And then look at what he says in this 20th verse. He says, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. He's our fullness, right?
And he says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, listen, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or in heaven, what he's saying is, because we were created by him, for him, and of him, in turn, we're only reconciled, redeemed, satisfied, and fulfilled by him, of him, and through him. He's the only one who can meet our eternal needs. Nothing else can do it. There is nothing else. And we as the people of God have to stop trying to get our needs met outside of Jesus Christ. And we have to stop trying to use Christ to get our needs met. What do you mean by that, sir? I mean, Christ is not a tool for us to get what we want in this life. No, God has set Christ to be the object of our pursuit. That in him and him only will we be fulfilled and satisfied. What I'm talking about is motive. Our motive can't be, well, if I don't come to church and I'm not obedient to the word, then I'm not going to get blessed. That cannot be our motive. That's not the motive of the believer. The motive of the believer is, I recognize the love of Jesus Christ. My heart has been broken to what he did for me. All I want is him. Now the blessing of a gracious and holy God is, once I'm yoked up with him, I get all my needs met. But that can't be the focus. The focus can't be, oh, I'm in Christ to get my blessing. No, I'm in Christ to get Christ. And when I got him, I'm totally and utterly fulfilled. And guess what? He then raises the standard of what I'm going to get. See, when my motive is, I need to get Christ, because listen, man, I need that loan that I just applied for to get passed. I need to get approved for that loan, or I need that car. Guess what you do? You cheat yourself. Because God is not in the business of blessing us with temporary things. Don't get me wrong. He'll give us some things to get so that we can, for maintenance and for us to get our needs met. But guess what? The Bible says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. We can't articulate, nor can we conceive the eternal blessings that God wants to give us. See, when I'm blessed by temporary things, you know what I get, y'all? I get temporary peace. When I'm blessed with temporary things, I get temporary joy and temporary satisfaction by things that break, depreciate, run out, run off, and die. The only thing that can satisfy me eternally has to be of an eternal nature, and that is Christ Jesus. That's where we get our needs met. That's why he said, if you be risen with Christ, he said, seek those things which are above. Where, y'all? Where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. That's our fellowship. He says, set your affection or your heart's desire on things that are above. And guess what? Special designation. And not on things on earth. That sounds pretty simple to me. When he says, not on things on the earth, because he knows what he wants us to know is that those things can't satisfy us. They can't. And that's why there's such a pervasive spirit of disappointment in our society today, in helplessness and hopelessness, because this world is on a downward trajectory. And we keep trying to get our needs met in a world that's going to you know where. And we wonder why. And you see the suicide rate through the roof. And you see the prescription drug rates through the roof. And you see people dying of fentanyl, you know, lacing stuff with fentanyl. And you got, you know, you got these, I forget, in the city that there's big debates around opening up these houses where people can inject themselves freely and all this stuff. Look at where our world is going. And it's because people are not satisfied and fulfilled because they continue to base their hopes on things that will fail them. Jesus Christ won't ever fail us. If we seek him diligently, he won't ever let us down. He will keep every single covenant promise that he's made. He's not like man that he should lie. But he's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful to keep every single promise that he's ever met. You tell me. Biden ain't going to give you that. You know, I ain't against Biden. The other one sure wasn't going to give you that. I ain't against none of them. But I just know where my hope is. It's in Christ Jesus. Is your hope in Jesus Christ? Is that where, I'm serious, is that where your hope is? Or are you waiting on your next stimulus check? Were you waiting on your phone at 40 acres in a mule? Some of us still waiting for the government to give us something for slavery. Are you kidding me? They could give you everything you want. But if you're not in Jesus Christ, guess what? You'll still be a slave. Some of them slaves was more free than we are today. Some of us are spiritually and emotionally in bondage to the things of this world because we don't realize that he who the Son has set free is free indeed. Your freedom ain't because you got an education and a good job. I'm going to tell you right now, the higher up you go, the more in bondage. You ain't ask me how I know. But it's in Christ Jesus. It's in him. It's not in stuff, y'all. Listen, yeah, Pastor Rocky, I'm going to break the record. We going to play this thing over and over again until we got to get it. We got to get it. Your best life is not in the things of this world. It's not. It's not. It's only in Christ Jesus. And listen, this psalm, our focus text, this psalm, man, it is a psalm of certainty, of assurance, of confident expectation, and it's a declaration of joy at the awesome revelation of an eternal relationship that David has with God. Man, it's a psalm of rejoicing. He says, preserve my life. And guess what, y'all? That's the thing. It's not a request. He's not making a request. It's a declaration of what he knows God is going to do through the eternal life of Jesus Christ. He knew it. And see, that's the thing. David's confidence and assurance was in Christ Jesus even before Christ came. You know that? See, and it's, there's evidence all throughout the Psalms because many of the Psalms were Masonic reference. They were prophetic in their own right. And they spoke of the delight of God and they spoke of David's delight in God through his agreement or his fellowship with God through the soon coming King, Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, look at it. If you look at it, even in Psalms 40, he says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. He says, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done and thy thoughts which are toward us. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. He said, if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And this is the thing. He said, sacrifices and burnt offerings thou dost not desire. He said, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. In other words, you can't get your fix by coming in and being religious in church and just doing the church thing absent of an intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He said, then I say, lo, I come. He's talking of Christ in the volume of the book. And it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. He was prophesying. He was prophesying even of the revelation of Christ Jesus, how the word would be manifest and made flesh, just like John 1. And even this verse, even our focus text, even our focus text has the same premise, right? For David speaking concerning Christ, he said, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand. And guess what? What's so funny about it? This is the same thing that Peter is testifying in when he's preaching in Acts chapter 2. Right? When at Pentecost, he's proclaiming what David had prophesied here in this 16th chapter of the book of Psalms. I'm reading it from Acts. I'm not reading it from Psalms. He says, for I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. That's somewhere around verse 7 or 8 in here in our focus text. But that's Acts 2:25. He says, therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Why? Because thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me thy ways. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. That was what Peter was saying. This is what Peter preached at Pentecost. In other words, he said, in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore, in fellowship with God. So this is a prophetic thing. Listen, David, he was rejoicing in anticipation of the Messiah. He was rejoicing in anticipation of being reconciled back to the Holy God through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, y'all, our fulfillment is in Christ. And even in our text here in Colossians, it's all about the superiority of Christ. That's what that Colossians book is all about. He was letting them know, Paul was letting them know, Christ is better. You name it, because they was worshiping angels. They was adding all kinds of special knowledge onto the gospel. Because they had a surface relationship with God, they needed something else. See, and that's the thing, you're not saved just because you come to church, y'all. We've got to have an intimate relationship with God. Because if you live on the surface, you're always going to want something else. And God has to meet us in our eternal place of need. He's got to meet us there. And that was their problem. And they were adding all this stuff to the gospel because they weren't satisfied. And it's no different for us today, right? You see it all the time. One minute, right, folk talking about Jesus. And I'm learning some stuff. One minute, people talking about Jesus, I'm like, yeah, all right. Next minute, that will cuss you out. That's the society we live today. People, I heard somebody tell me, I love Jesus, but I cuss. Seriously, somebody told me, oh, Lord, we on Facebook. Right? Well, right? We can't listen. Man, and it's crazy. Man, next one, we talking about Jesus. Next minute, we practicing chakras and caught up in all this other demonic stuff. You can't ignore, man, light and dark don't exist together. But see, you can do that on the surface. You can, man, it's easy. It's easy to come in church and be habitual and be traditional and have all kinds of religion and practice this and be on auxiliaries and do all this stuff and be members for years but live any old kind of way out in the world. It's easy to have church on the surface, because without an intimate relationship, that's all you got is surface. And drink and carry on and go to the club and talk about, well, he knows my heart. Yes, he do. Yes, he does. He knows that get over heart. I'm just going to abuse the grace of God. No. He said, shall we continue in sin that grace shall abound? He said, God forbid. God forbid. Guess what, y'all? We ain't perfect. I ain't perfect. Ain't nobody perfect. We all make mistakes, but there ought to be a mindset where this love has captured your heart. Because once he captures your heart, you ain't got to worry about your conduct and what you're doing and what you ain't doing. Because I'm focused on Jesus Christ, he'll handle all the rest, y'all. I promise you. I promise you he will. You ain't got to worry about how you're acting, how you're responding, what you're doing, how what you did and all this other stuff. Guess what? We ain't got time. Amen. Amen. But if I get my heart's attention on Christ Jesus, guess what? He'll help me walk straight. He'll help me live right. He'll help me be an example to somebody else. He'll help me that I won't be a detriment to the kingdom of God, because I'm in church with this cross around my neck acting all holy, but I'm outside acting like a demon. He can do it. We ain't got to worry about it. If we seek him diligently, he'll take care of how we act. He will. He will. Then we ain't got to walk around making excuses. Because that's what we do in church today. We make excuses because that's what the flesh does. It knows how to justify our sin. It got a million excuses of why we can't forgive somebody. Why we can't love our enemies. Why we can't serve. Why we can't do this. Why we can't do... Man, the flesh has a million excuses. But man, when I'm yoked up in communion with him, man, he'll deal with the excuses. That's what the weapons do. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God, not to deal with your enemies, but to deal with the enemy inside of us. They're mighty through God to pull down strongholds, cast down imaginations. Those are the excuses in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge and the will of God. I'm telling you, when we're yoked up with Jesus Christ, man, we need to be yoked up. It's in his presence that we're fulfilled. It's in his presence that we're satisfied. It's in his presence. It ain't in church. Church is where we come to get the principle, y'all, so that we can take it back to our closet and get in his presence so that he can magnify himself in us. I'm not fooling church. Don't get me wrong. I'm encouraged in church. I love the body of believers, but this ain't where we get it. This ain't where it happens. It happens by cultivating an intimate relationship with God. He says, in a day and time where I come to judge the secrets of man. He ain't coming to judge your church life. You come to church, you hear every Sunday, you check in the box, you on the roll, you pay your tithes on time, wonderful, bless you, thank God for it. But that's not what he's coming back. He's coming back to see what you do in private. It's those secret thoughts. But guess what? The beauty of the closet, where he exposes the secret thoughts, you know what he does? He loves us through them. And it's his love that propels us towards deliverance. It's the love of God. It's what does the scripture says? It's the love of God that brings us to repentance. It's the love of Christ. But guess what? We'll never know it if we don't set in our hearts to spend quality time with him. Me and my wife, married for, Lord, I'm about to get in trouble. As many years as we've been married, I thank God, because guess what? We just growing in love. We growing in love. We ain't where we was 5 years ago. Thank God we ain't where we was 20 years ago. Can't be twin hobby, right, babe? Right? Thank God we ain't there no more. But it's because of the time that we've invested in the relationship. We as children of God have to invest in our relationship with God in Jesus Christ, and church is just the beginning. Don't come to church to check off a box. Come to church to get the principle. But like Charles Stanley say all the time, we don't come to church to sit and listen to sermons. Come and get something that gets applied to our hearts. Because guess what? That's the manifestation of the life of Christ. That's his manifestation. So he's dealing with these things. He's dealing with these things in this Colossians, right? Right? And we talked about it. You got people 1 minute we talking about Jesus. The next minute we all kinds of messed up. Man, there's a man, and I was so, man, look good, listen. Man, people, we're human, we're flawed. I get it. But here's the thing, man, my heart was aching just a couple weeks ago because I saw somebody on a reality television show who I had admired, right? Because, and it's a former NBA basketball player, came to lead. Oh, he was talking about Jesus, talking about Christ. I was like, yes, this is what our children need to see. This is what our children need to see, talking about Christ. They even featured him on Charles Stanley, In Touch Ministries one time. And then I saw him, man, on his television reality. He got all kinds of, it's not about the tattoos, I'm not coming at that, but it's what he had inscripted on his body. All this third eye stuff. And the pyramid and all this other stuff. Listen, and that's the tone and the current of our society today. Man, listen, we can't, choose you this day. Man, who are you going to serve? Man, because our children are watching us. And we tell them what is and what isn't okay by the way we conduct ourselves. Seriously? We set a standard and an example by us. And we can't be on the surface. The Bible says they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. That power represents the authority of the word of God. It comes by way of the word, and it's applied to our hearts and is manifest in our hearts through the unity of the Spirit of Christ that lives in us and the word that comes in, where the Spirit of Christ takes the sword of the Spirit and joins us to God by way of dealing with the very thing in us that rebels against God. That's where we find our fellowship, and that's where we find our fulfillment. That's where we find, I got 2 points. And they're quick ones. I got 2 points from in our text that if we're going to live in fulfillment, there are many things in this word that will point out, but just in our text, things that stood out to me. The first thing, if we're going to operate in fulfillment and fellowship with God, man, the first thing is Christ must be. We talked about it a little bit already. We're not going to spend a lot of time on these points at all. Christ must be the object of our pursuit. He must be the object. Look at what David writes here in this 8th and 9th verse. He says, I have set the Lord always before me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. In other words, because we're fellowship, I shall not be moved. He says, therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoice. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Listen, because we've set Christ as the object of our pursuit, because I have purposed him and him only in my heart, I'm in constant and consistent pursuit of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 8, he says, I shall not be moved. He says, in other words, he says, not only, let's finish it. He said, I shall not be moved. He said, my heart shall be glad. He says, my glory or my soul shall rejoice. He says, I shall rest or I will have peace shall rest in hope. I shall have peace and assurance. God has guaranteed us these things: steadfastness, joy, peace, hope, assurance. If Christ is our pursuit, if Christ is our objective, he says, I have purpose Christ in my heart. I shall not be moved. I shall have all these things. Why? Because I'm planted in him. I'm resting in this fellowship with Christ Jesus. Church, that's our position. And it's funny because we talk about resting, but really it's not resting. It's resting physically, but spiritually it's a constant pursuit and a chasing after Christ Jesus. And when he says, I shall not be moved, I'm planted. In other words, it's regardless of my situation. Regardless of what I'm confronted with, I've got tunnel vision for Christ Jesus. Listen, y'all, we live in a world of calamity. This world is a hot mess. And there's trouble on every single side. But God has made us some promises. He told us, he said, trouble on every side, but what? Not distress. He said, perplexed, but what? Not in despair. He said, persecuted, but not forsaken. And he said, cast down, but not destroyed. He was differentiating by what happens to us externally, by what the stance of our heart should be internally. Even though we go through these things externally, guess what, y'all? We got peace on the inside. Does not matter what happens to us or what we go through, we have assurance because our hope is fixed on Christ Jesus. And that's why Paul can say, listen, I can rejoice even in the midst of tribulation. Because he recognized and he knew, he said, tribulation worketh patience. Patience worketh experience, and experience worketh hope or assurance. And guess what? He says that hope will never disappoint us. Why? Because the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts. In other words, because I have made him the object of my pursuit. He met me in my place of need. And he showed me a love that conquers everything. And that's why when we get our attention on Jesus Christ, you know what? Stuff that was this big, y'all. And Pastor Wright talked about it last week. Stuff that was this big, when we get in the closet, guess what? It becomes this big. You ever been going through something that seemed like the hardest, the biggest, the most insurmountable thing in the world, and then you got on your knees, and you got in your closet, and you got fixed and focused on Jesus Christ, and then you got up on your knees, and it was still there, but guess what? It wasn't big at all. But it was this big because nothing compares to the enormity of the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul could have the thorn. And he said, guess what? I will boast in my infirmities because God's grace is more than sufficient than the thorn and the things that I'm going through. Guess what? The thorn didn't go away. The trouble or the challenge or the situation didn't go away. But the grace of God overwhelms our carnal minds, hits our hearts and let us and reveals and gives us the very revelation and the illumination of how great and big God is. And you'll see how big God is in comparison to what you're going through. But guess what, y'all? If he's not our pursuit, if he's not the object of what it is we're chasing, guess what? We are going to get swallowed up by what somebody said to you, what somebody did to you, what somebody did to you when you were a child, what somebody wronged you on your job. You can't get past it. Somebody looked at you funny in the church. Yeah, it happened in the church too. You can't get past it. Guess what? All of that stuff is in the way. All that stuff is hindering your peace. Your peace is not predicated on how somebody treats you or what happened to you or what somebody does. It's predicated on your position in Jesus Christ. We've got to get fixed and focused on him. You're waiting for something to happen in this world to give you peace. Keep on waiting. It's not going to happen. Somebody say only. Only in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, only in Jesus Christ is it going to happen. And in the second point, and the last point, he says in this verse 11, he says, that will show me the path of life. He says, in thy presence is the fullness of joy. And at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. What I want to focus on is where he says, at thy right hand. Because you know what that right hand represents, y'all? That right hand represents a place of honor. It represents a place of honor. And my point is, in the fellowship of God, we're fully validated. We are fully validated in fellowship with him. The right hand represents a place of honor. It represents a place of validation. It's our fellowship with him. Guess what? It's in our fellowship with him. Guess what, y'all? That's where God props us up. That's where he puts us in a place of honor. That's why he could justify us in that place. It's in that place of fellowship with him where he affirms us. Guess what, y'all? Do y'all know what this thing is right here? This is a book of affirmation. This is a book where God tells you how wonderful you are. This is where he told us. This is where he told us, I saw you when you were wrong, in imperfection in your mother's womb. But yet my thoughts towards you were as many as the sands on the beach. This is where he tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. This is where he lets us know how much he loves us. This is at the right hand of God. This is where we get it at, y'all. Guess what? Ain't enough likes on social media to validate you. To validate you enough that could ever compare to what God. You want likes? You want, listen, I got. That's right, say, we got 66 books of them. I'll do you one better. I got 2,199 pages of likes. If you would just take the time to see what God has to say, because guess what? Most people who liking you on Facebook, they talking about you behind your back. Because you up there, because guess what? Because guess what, y'all? Like I said, we living our best lie on Facebook. In the spirit of man, the flesh don't like it. So they're like, oh, how she get to go on that trip? How, like, but they like you. Or how, they marriage ain't that great. They like it, but they talking. Listen, because that's the world. That's why we ought not be looking for validation on Facebook. It's a mess. I'm serious. I know y'all don't like it because that's my place of ministry. No, it ain't. No, it's not. Our ministry is in our homes. That's where your place of ministry is. I'm not saying you can't say something good on Facebook. I'm not here to tear the whole thing down, but you've got to see the design of this world system. You got to see it. You've got to see how the enemy is using this stuff to cause all homes are being destroyed on account of this stuff. I'm telling you right now, marriages are being torn apart on the count of this stuff. The enemy is tearing some stuff down because we're not validated in Jesus Christ. We need somebody to tell us something good about ourselves. He already told us something good about ourselves. In the presence of the Lord is the fullness. Our fulfillment is in our relationship with him. Y'all, we don't need nothing else. He said, seek ye first. And I'm closing the book. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He says, positionally, our position is yoked and communed with him. Perfectly loved, perfectly validated, perfectly affirmed, perfectly assured, perfectly secured in Christ. There's not another place in this world that will guarantee you that. Not a one. It's in fellowship with him. Y'all, we need him. I need him. Guess what, y'all? My wife would tell you I'm a mess. And I need him. I need him. Without him, I am a hot, broken mess. And I'm not coming at nobody, but guess what? So are you. And the quicker we come to know that, the quicker, guess what? Man, the quicker. And that's why I started with. That's my prayer. Lord, expose my need for you. Expose the fact that I can't do it without you. And meet me. Meet me, oh Lord. In your eternal capacity to fulfill my every need, my eternal need. Meet me in that place. Guess what, y'all? That's fellowship. That's the place he set aside for every single one of us. When we sing the song, There's Room at the Cross, that's the place. For every single one of us, that's where he wants us. Are we? Listen, do you have a desire to get there? Do you have a desire? Paul said, he said, I want to know you in the power of your resurrection, in the fellowship of your suffering, to be made conformable unto your death by any means. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing, that I might apprehend that which I've been apprehended of, fellowship. I'm forgetting those things as we stand, which are behind me, because my heart's attention is fixed and focused on you. And I'm reaching towards you, which are before me. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling. It's in Jesus Christ. It's in him, church. It's in him. And if you got him, you can give him a hand clap of praise if you got him. If you really got him. We have him. We have something that the world, listen, there is nothing in the world that can compare to what we have. And I'm going to tell you right now, if all you have is a church membership, then you ain't got, listen, then you ain't got nothing more than what the world got. But if you have an intimate relationship, you have everything that you need and more. You do. And because of that, man, that's why David could rejoice. He said, because of what I have. He says, it's in your presence, oh God. It's the fullness. It's my fulfillment. It's the fullness of joy. And at your right hand, and at our in our fellowship, there are pleasures eternally, not temporary, forevermore. And if you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, man, we want to invite you to come. Man, listen. He's the only one. He's the only one that can meet you in your place of need. He's the only one who knows where you are. He knows. And he's the only one qualified. Y'all, he meets me in my wretchedness every single day. Because he's the only one who can handle it. Because he already did on the cross. So guess what? My sin, my stinking thinking, my idiosyncrasies, they don't mess him up. They don't throw him off at all. He sees me as I am. And because he sees me, he can meet me in that place. And he can fix those things in me. Nobody else can do it. There's nobody else qualified to do it but him. Don't deny him, because that's his joy. Don't deny him of that joy to meet you in that place. Heard Minister Tober the other week. He said, man, Jesus is my doctor. Man, he writes every single one of my prescriptions. Man, and it's in my closet that he gives me my medicine. That's the room. We're not inviting you to, listen, we're inviting you to be a part of the church, but first we're inviting you that you might enter the closet. We're inviting you to a place of intimacy in Christ Jesus, where he can meet you, he can fill you, he can heal you, he can validate and affirm, he can give you everything that the world promises but can't deliver on. He can do it. Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come? As the choir sings, won't you come? Our second call, if you're in broken fellowship.
Jesus at the center of it all.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. He's at the center.
Jesus at
He's here to meet us.
Center of it all.
Wherever we've fallen. Wherever we've fallen short.
From beginning,
he's the master mender.
The
he's able to do it. Won't you come this morning?
Be,
he wants to restore us to right relationship and fellowship
Jesus.
With him. He's inviting us today. Won't you come?
Jesus.
You desire prayer, we ask you to come to the altar.
Nothing in this world will do.
Because if he's our pursuit, that's our testimony. Jesus, you are the center. Jesus, you're everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. Let's do it again. Nothing else matters. Nothing else. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Jesus, you're. Is he your pursuit? Is he your pursuit? Nothing else matters. Nothing else.
From
to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you.
Amen.